Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We got our man Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. Dog Nation, Brandon, good morning. How are you, my man?
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Oh, I couldn't be better. It's Friday, even though it is Friday the 13th, so be careful today if you believe in that kind of stuff.
That's right. Watch out for scary guys in the hockey masks, I guess.
Now, did you see Friday the 13th? Have you seen that?
I've seen a lot of the older ones. Yeah. They've made any, like, new ones. I haven't really seen any of the remakes or whatever. But when I was a kid, I think if you're a child of the 80s, there was, like, a certain fascination you had with, like, Jason Voorhees for a while. And, you know, I don't know if these movies hold up great over time. So younger listeners right now going back and rewatching these, you might not find them to be cinematic masterpieces. But I have to say that there was a pretty big fascination with, like, Jason and Camp, like, Crystal Lake or whatever that thing was called. Although I guess, come to find out, he doesn't put the hockey mask on to, like, the third movie, right? Like,
he's not the villain. He's not. It's his mom in the first one, and she offed Kevin Bacon. So there was, like, a famous person in the first Friday the 13th that got killed. So Kevin Bacon one of the camp counselors. Anyway, didn't mean to get off on that tangent. Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot of Georgia football with you. We hear you every day. Do a great job on Dog Nation Daily from noon to one. We definitely enjoy the show every day. We've definitely hit the dog days, but it's nice that come Monday, SEC Media Days, and it'll feel like the season's even closer to being here than it really is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm curious what's going to happen next week when, you know, folks start talking. And I'm always kind of interested in, like, the line of questions that, you know, Kirby Smart gets. You know, I think that his stature as a coach has really, you know, kind of grown. You know, think about him as a first-year coach when probably all anybody wanted to talk about was, you know, having worked for Nick Saban. He was sort of thought of as just a protege of Saban, really nothing more. And then last year, you know, a lot of the questions are about, you know, dealing with a little bit of a disappointment in year one and maybe suffering in the shadow of Mark Richt a little bit. Well, now he's reigning SEC champion. He's in the college football playoff. He really walks in, you know, with as much swagger as anybody, you know, could have, really. I don't know that necessarily he's going to, like, strut his way through the building in Atlanta, but if he wanted to, he certainly could, given the fact that he's had a lot of success. He's really one of the big coaches in the league now. So it's kind of cool to watch, really, just over the course of three off seasons, how much he's grown in terms of, I think, probably how he's viewed by, you know, the folks around the SEC.
Brandon, one thing that has been very apparent this offseason, and I don't know if this comes from playing for a national championship the season before or not, but everybody seems to be a little more on edge when it comes to certain things in terms of the fan base. And one of the things I'm talking about is maybe being a little overprotective of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old guys. And I'm of course talking about Jake Fromm's injury that, you know, has already been outed as not being that big of a deal. And, you know, some people are saying he should stay off the water or he should, you know, not be putting himself in that kind of situation. Does Georgia Nation in general, or Dog Nation in general, and I know it's not everybody, but does everybody kind of need to take a step back and kind of decompress here a little bit?
Well, I think the premise of your question is correct, that there's sort of an outsized level of attention that gets paid to when a quarterback gets hurt, especially one like Jake Fromm, which is genuinely liked by really everybody, you know, around Dog Nation. When something happens, I do think there's a tendency to want to say, okay, how can we solve this problem? You know, here's an issue, how can it be corrected? And so maybe some people are going to jump to the notion of, well, you just got to wrap him in bubble wrap and say no boats, no ATVs, no, you know, anything like that that's recreational activity that can, you know, lead to an injury. I mean, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm old enough that I have kids. They're not as old as Jake Fromm is, but one day they will be. And, you know, I'm always looking to say, what can I do to keep my kids safe? What can I do to keep them away from harm? And I'm sure that, you know, Fromm's parents feel the same way. And you realize, you know, to a certain extent, there really is nothing you can do. And I think even Kirby Smart sort of spoke about that when he was at Lake Oconee this week, that, A, it's probably right to let these kids, you know, have some fun, and B, there really is no step that you completely insure against an injury like this. And yet, Sam, as I say that, I also feel a little bit hypocritical because while, you know, I would say to Jake Fromm and really anybody else, it's okay to be boating and water skiing. I don't necessarily feel the same way about Sonny Michel's ATV accident. Now, I'm not going to come down hard on him a couple years ago when he did get hurt on an ATV, but if it was sort of me making the rules, I'd probably be more lenient on boats than I would be ATVs. I don't know that there's a statistical piece of evidence that justifies that opinion, but one seems more dangerous than the other. So I guess I kind of come down the idea of reasonable precaution without sort of veering in the direction of being unreasonable. But pretty clearly, you know, there's going to be an extra level of hysteria when I think Fromm, you know, deals with something like that.
You know, you mentioned Lake Oconee and the coaches being there for the golf tournament there that Bruce Arians puts on. I guess it was Dan Mullen that had a comment about maybe the changing of the guard. Maybe this we're slowly seeing a little bit of the power of the conference maybe moving towards the East. You know, Georgia winning the SEC championship this year, this past season, the first time, what, since 2009 when Florida won it, a team from the East. Do you kind of feel that way, too, that, you know, if you take Alabama out of the equation, I know that's saying a lot, but does it feel like the divisions may be more even than they have been?
Well, we played that audio of Mullen on our show, and I said at the time that I can't quite tell if he's joking about this or not, if that's just sort of like a dry sense of humor on his part, or if he really does mean that as a piece of football evaluation, because if it really is your, like, evaluation that the East has sort of caught up with the West, I don't necessarily know that that's true. Now, the one thing I do think that Georgia changed last year was by winning the conference, we had a team from the East that was capable of doing that for the first time really in a long time, probably since Georgia in 2012 or, you know, even South Carolina in 2010, a pretty good team like that's not really good enough to win the conference, be a college football playoff level team, or at that time it would have been a BCS level team. You know, the East just hasn't had a lot of those teams since Tim Tebow left Florida, so obviously, Georgia last season changed that. The one thing that the West still has going for it is I believe that it has two teams that are capable of winning the conference and potentially being a playoff team. Obviously, Alabama. I still think Auburn's going to be pretty good. So, at least from that sort of very simple evaluation, there really isn't a second team in the East that matches from a talent perspective what Auburn brings to the table. South Carolina's probably a top 25 team, but Auburn's probably a top 10 team. And so, from that standpoint, I still think there's a good bit of a gap. And so if Mullen was being serious, I believe that he's wrong. Georgia's rise makes the East a little bit better, but it's still the weaker of the two divisions overall.
Talking with Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily that you can hear every day here, noon to 1, right here on 960 The Ref.
Now, Brandon, you know, another thing that I think comes with the fact that Georgia is coming off such a great season is that target on your back type mentality. You know, Georgia doesn't have any of those revenge games this year because they've beaten every team on the schedule that, you know, beat them last year. So they don't have that to look forward to, although Dave and I did look up that every game Kansas plays this year is a revenge game, which is hilarious. But for the Dogs to maybe not have that motivation for revenge, what's Kirby Smart going to look to now? Is it more just keeping things rolling, that keep chopping, attack the day mentality?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I know at one point in time Kirby has talked about the fact that they want to maintain that sort of edge of being the hunter as opposed to becoming what some people might describe as the hunted, which sometimes can lead to complacency. I mean, obviously, you say there's no revenge game on the schedule right now, but there is the opportunity for a revenge game if you can take care of your business, which gets you to Alabama in December. And for me, that sort of becomes a double-edged sword. I know Sam and Dave, y'all are both big Braves fans. I grew up a big Braves fan, and or at least I assume you're both big Braves fans. I did grew up a big Braves fan, and you know, when I was a kid growing up, it was like this thing of, you know, the Braves are going to be in the playoffs. So it almost seemed like every regular season game was completely inconsequential. And then the season doesn't start until October. And then for a lot of times, unfortunately for the Braves, it sort of ended just as quickly as it began. It almost seemed like you didn't really have a whole lot of Braves games that really mattered. And I hope that's not what this Georgia season is going to feel like for a lot of Georgia fans, where you say, let's just fast forward through the regular season, get to December, because it's that game against Alabama, that rematch, and that chance for revenge after the national championship game that really matters. This is one of those things where I think the mindset of the players and the coaches is probably going to be appropriate. I do think they'll have, you know, the right level of focus. Kirby Smart, I think, has sort of proven that's something that he's really good at. But for the fans, it could be restless. You know, there's going to be some chatter about the South Carolina game, but Georgia's like a two-touchdown favorite in that game. I mean, that game goes according to form. It really shouldn't be that close. You know, LSU is an interesting road trip, but Georgia's still a pretty big favorite there. I mean, you know, it is one of those schedules where it seems like it's fairly easily managed by Georgia. Obviously, college football has a way of surprising you, but if it holds to form, it's one of those things where fans may just be getting a little restless saying, when can we hurry up and get to December and play this game that really matters? I don't think the coaches and players will think that way, but it's really the fans who I think are going to have the hardest time of saying, you know, just I guess basically just being patient and enjoying the college football season, knowing that until Georgia beats Alabama, it really hasn't bested what it did a season ago.
And last season was so magical, too, and there's still a lot of fans that are like, you know, just I look at it like that. It's like, hey, this is lining up to be another great season for Georgia, but it doesn't always, you know, play out that way. You know, you look at it on paper, but it doesn't always play out that way on the field. So like you said, the players and coaches are going to be focused. That's definitely a good thing. From a fan's perspective, though, I'm very curious to see how this upcoming season plays out.
Yeah, because you don't have, like you said, you don't have that trip to Notre Dame. LSU will be fun, but you don't have that trip to Notre Dame. You don't have, you know, some of those, like, revenge games, you know, like we all sort of set up a year ago. But, Dave, you know this. Somebody's going to say something. There'll be some version of a Chauncey Gardner quote or a Jonathan Abrams quote. I mean, there'll be some version of something that makes the games week in and week out feel big. And, you know, ultimately, that's what the fans will sort of gravitate towards. You know, it's sort of easy for me to say what I said a moment ago, that there's a way in which all these regular season games seem somewhat uninteresting, but we all love college football, the three of us speaking, the people who are listening to us right now. And once you get to game week, there'll be something about the game that's going to feel big, even if Georgia's a fairly sizable favorite.
Well, you know, Georgia now is carrying that bullseye, too, which
right.
hasn't been the case for the last few years. So this is now when Georgia plays somebody, it's either their biggest game of the season or their second biggest game of the season, too. So that always, you know, adds a little bit to the equation as well.
Oh, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think the other thing that's going to be really interesting for fans this year is a little bit of a transition from, you know, Georgia has run the ball, you know, roughly speaking, you know, two times for every one throw going back the last few years. I'm not so sure they don't try to get the passing and offense involved a little bit more this season and find a way to get Justin Fields involved a little bit. So part of what could keep Georgia sort of on edge and hungry is establishing some areas in which it hasn't quite been elite level as of late. The passing offense may be an example of that. I talked on Dog Nation Daily yesterday about getting more sacks. That's something that Georgia hasn't done quite as well as teams like Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State. So there is still that sort of elite measuring stick, and I mean elite at every position group, that Georgia is still looking to sort of check all the boxes on. So that could become, you know, one of those things where it's sort of like the golfer who's always looking to sort of beat his best score. You know, this is one of those things where, you know, Georgia has been really good. Last season was a really good season, and maybe now it's about sort of finishing all that off and becoming, you know, truly elite and great. And that could be a really entertaining thing as Georgia tries to, you know, incorporate some new talent in the mix here and sort of cross some of those final thresholds to really being that perennial power the way that, you know, some of those teams we all get so tired of hearing about are, like I mentioned before, Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State.
Now, Brandon, Georgia's backfield, I want to talk about that for a second. Obviously, very, you know, traffic jammy when you look at all the different guys that Georgia's going to have. You know, James Cook is on campus now as well. So, I mean, that's just another guy to throw into that equation. But until Zamir White, you know, is fully kind of ready to go and healthy, and we still don't know exactly – you know, when that's going to be, and not assuming that he's just going to come in and take the job, but how do you see kind of is this going to be like a New England Patriots situation in terms of all the different splits we're going to see from the running backs?
Yeah, that's a really interesting description there of, you know, potentially how that could be used and how you get all these guys involved. And obviously we know when you have five, there's clearly going to be at least one person who sort of becomes the odd man out. One of those five guys is not going to get as many carries as he wants to get. I don't know that any of us right now could point and say this is definitely going to be the guy who that is, because, you know, take Brian Herrien, for instance, who's obviously the least heralded recruit amongst this quintet of guys. And yet, I mean, I remember the North Carolina game in 2016, his first college game ever. when he stepped on the field, he looked very much the part of an SEC running back. I mean, I do think that Zamir White is potentially going to be something special. And obviously, when I list my very short list of things I'm most excited about for this season, Zamir White is definitely a big part of that list. But I don't know there's much value in playing him against Austin Peay, where he even be healthy enough to do that. You know, let him take a couple more weeks to sort of get fully healthy. Maybe it might be a nice scenario for Georgia fans to sort of unleash him on South Carolina week two, if that's a possibility, which would sort of set up week one. And by the way, I'm not a doctor, so that's not a medical diagnosis of why, but just, you know, what could be a possibility there, which would set up week one against Austin Peay is maybe a bit of a showcase or a dress rehearsal to see between Elijah Holyfield and Brian Harry and the veterans. You know, can they hold off these freshmen? Because for different reasons, White, assuming he's healthy, and James Cook, because of, you know, the sort of special level of athleticism he has. I mean, these are tough guys to beat out, but Harry and Holyfield have been biding their time. There's no apology needed from them that they, you know, didn't get enough carries when your backfield includes DeAndre Swift and Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel. But now Swift sort of moves in that number one role, and the number two and number three roles kind of open. I do think those veterans are going to have a say in how that pecking order goes. And I think that's one of the really fun things about the Austin Peay game, which is not something probably a lot of Georgia fans are saying right now. But one of the things that could be fun about that game is really just seeing, you know, can Harry and Holyfield run wild that day and make a case for the old guys, so to speak, getting some carries the following week against South Carolina, as opposed to a lot of the freshmen being mixed in with DeAndre Swift.
It's hard to think of Holyfield and Harry and as juniors, as the old guys.
Sure,
that's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, I know.
I know. B.A., what do you got cooking for the show today?
We're going to talk a lot about former five-star wide receiver Demetrius Robertson. The Cal transfer is making his decision tomorrow at 1 p.m. I believe that's the time his video is expected to drop. And it seems like there's a lot of whispers or chatter that maybe seems like it could be good news for UGA. Some Dog fans feel like they've been down that road before with him back in 2016 when he chose Cal. But nonetheless, we'll set ourselves up for another Robertson decision here and see if Georgia can add another five-star wide receiver into the mix. I think that could be potentially good news, and we'll sort of follow it and see where it goes.
Do you think a commitment video and all this pomp and circumstance for a guy who's committing a second time, I mean, is that – a warning sign, or is that just the day and age we're in now?
You know, I know, Sam, that some people don't like it. I've certainly heard from plenty of Georgia fans who are like, oh my gosh, enough's enough already. This is too much attention-seeking behavior. But I don't know. I guess I don't have a huge problem with it, A, because I'm going to watch the video. I mean, it'd be hypocritical for me to criticize the video and then be sitting by my computer at 1 p.m. tomorrow to watch it. I'm definitely
right.
definitely going to watch it. And listen, I don't have a real problem with this. I mean, to me, you know, all of this is entertainment. All of this is you know, sort of, you know, fun and games. And I'll include, you know, the Robertson thing in that as well. I know some Georgia fans are feeling a little spurned given the fact that they thought he might choose Georgia back in May of 2016 when he chose Cal. But listen, I mean, maybe he gets a second chance to make the right decision here. Maybe Georgia gets a second chance of its own here.
Well, Dog fans got over it with Jarvis Jones too, Brandon.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I do think that Georgia could use him. So from that standpoint, for me, it feels like a story worth following here.
Brandon, always great talking to you, my man. Thanks so much. And now you're on the when you go live, it's at 10 o'clock, and anyone can follow you there. And
that's
Dog
right.
Nation Daily, and then if you can't get it, then you can hear it right here on 960 The Ref, noon to 1, every Monday through
Friday.
We
love being on 960 The Ref. It's always a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of the work that both of you guys do, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, we'll be talking to you a lot this fall, Brandon. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Me too. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily, dognation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.